Out of Place, written by Faye Lee, read by Kaylin Wrights. Chapter 11. Tonks took leave from the department, and when Robards got wind of the circumstances, he offered Harry the same. Tonks and Teddy were staying with him for a while, and Harry did his best to help. Harry started planning for the Black House to be repaired. George and Bill offered to finish clearing it of artifacts and curses, and George did a fair bit of repairs along the way. They all had their own lives, but in times of need, the Weasleys never failed to take care of their own, to which Harry was ever grateful to be included. The service was long and lovely. Teddy clung to him and buried his face in Harry's neck whenever someone came near. Tonks scowled at all the well-wishers that refused to even acknowledge Andromeda in public when she was alive. When Minerva McGonagall approached with Pomona Sprout at her side, it was the first time Harry saw color come to Tonks's cheeks all day. Sprout pulled Tonks aside to speak, and McGonagall put a hand on his shoulder for a moment.
"The castle's empty for the summer. Send an owl. A few days up there will do the three of you a world of good," she said.
Harry thanked her and watched as she wove her way to the back of the crowded hall. Teddy sniffled in his ear, and he rubbed the boy's back just as he spotted McGonagall approach Severus, who met his gaze long enough to give a brief nod. The entire order was here, but Harry hadn't expected him.
"Can we go home?"
Teddy asked, speaking for the first time since they arrived.
"Yeah, love. Let's get your mom and go home," Harry said, and squeezed him tighter.
Harry made his way through the crowd to Tonks, who was just saying her goodbyes to Sprout and a wizard he didn't know.
"Home?"
she asked. Harry nodded. Just as they turned to head toward the apparition point, Percy and Ron showed up to clear the way. Hogwarts and her grounds were glorious, no matter the time of year. Summer was the only time Harry hadn't experienced before, and it was beautiful. The early morning sun highlighted the grounds that were covered in wildflowers as the grass had grown longer. Teddy ran through the grass instead of staying on the path. Every so often he would trip and fall to his knees, then pull himself back up to run again. Tonks watched him with a small smile gracing her lips, and Harry had to steady her twice from tripping over her own feet. Teddy may look like Remus, but he was Tonks's son, through and through. Professor McGonagall waited on the castle steps. Her emerald robes were brighter than the ones Harry had seen her wear before. They greeted her, and the adults stood there for a few minutes, entranced by the laughing child. When Teddy took a harder tumble than usual, Tonks gathered him up, and McGonagall called a house elf to take their bags. McGonagall led them to two adjacent rooms.
"These used to be teachers' quarters, when the teaching staff was larger," McGonagall said. "I've freshened them up. You can take meals in the Great Hall at the usual times. If you need anything, I shall be in my office most days. I go home after dinner, but Hogsmeade is a brief walk."
"Thank you," Harry said.
"Could I show Teddy the Hufflepuff common room?" Tonks asked.
McGonagall smiled.
"I'll walk with you."
Harry watched them walk down the corridor until they turned the corner, then went into his room. It was nearly identical to the one he'd woken up in a couple of months ago, though the mantle was free of photos. Harry flopped down on the bed and was asleep in minutes. He opened his eyes to see a house elf place a piece of folded parchment on the table.
"Thanks," he said, then cleared his throat. The house elf jumped and disappeared.
Harry rubbed his face as he sat up, then felt around for his glasses that he hadn't removed before he fell asleep. Once they were on, he grabbed the parchment and read it. Tonks and Teddy were joining McGonagall in Hogsmeade for lunch. He stood and straightened his robes, then left the room for the kitchen, which was a short walk away. Harry smiled at the pair's giggle, slipped through the portrait, and a cacophony struck him. House elves swarmed him and led him to the table. Some claimed to remember his favorite foods and rushed off to make them. Harry hadn't yet said hello. Harry watched as Creature elbowed the other elves that tried to serve him. He would take the dishes and present them himself. When Harry tried to intervene,
creature scowled and disappeared. The antics of the house elves used to make him laugh, but now the sound and movement were overwhelming. Harry was knackered. Being a full-time godfather differed from what he'd known before. 2 weekends a month and a month in the summer had become a daily job. Tonks was doing well enough, but her heart was broken. She'd not so much as changed her hair since it happened. Molly Weasley and Narcissa Malfoy had both reached out. Perhaps it was time to let them in. Hermione and Ron thought he'd pulled away because of Andromeda. Not talking about his experience was starting to bother him more and more. He felt like he was keeping secrets from everyone he loved. His mood fell, and he decided he would open up. He thanked the elves and left the kitchens. Harry slipped out of the portrait just as someone entered. He slammed into them, then overcompensated trying to right himself and jammed his shoulder against the wall. "Sorry," he said. Harry pulled away enough to realize Severus was staring at him, paused in rubbing his own chin. He froze for long seconds before words came to him.
McGonagall said the castle was empty, Harry said.
Staff come and go as they please through the summer months, Severus said.
Oh, Harry said.
Sorry, I'll get out of your hair. Sorry.
Harry turned and hastened away.
Potter,
Snape called when Harry had reached the end of the corridor. He hung his head, took a bracing breath, and turned around.
Yeah?
Harry asked. He looked up and rubbed his sore shoulder. Severus looked uncertain and said nothing for too long. Harry was about to break the silence when Severus asked,
May I speak with you after dinner?
Yeah, okay, Harry said.
Severus nodded. He entered the kitchen, and the portrait fell closed behind him. When Tonks returned with McGonagall and Teddy, she was laughing. Teddy waved to him as he watched them enter the castle together. Harry waved back. They had spent the afternoon in the village, and Harry had flown for a few hours on the pitch. He'd almost tumbled as his thoughts left him, preoccupied with whatever Snape wanted to tell him. Harry picked at his dinner, still full from lunch. 2 house elves had taken a particular interest in Teddy. They were coaxing him to eat as Teddy got distracted by Hagrid's waves from the other end of the teacher's table. Professor Sprout had arrived for dinner. It had delighted her when Tonks had agreed to let her teach Teddy in the greenhouses in the morning. Harry said his goodnights and wandered from the hall, then through the castle doors. He sat on the steps and leaned back against the cool stone. He realized it was where he'd left Sirius. The location had a lovely view of the Forbidden Forest, and if he leaned forward, Harry could see the edge of the pitch. He was tempted to fly for a bit, but he'd showered before dinner and didn't know when Snape wanted whatever he wanted. Today had been the first day in ages that Harry hadn't had to take care of Tonks and Teddy, and he felt guilty at how relaxed he felt. Hermione had replied to the letter he had sent after lunch, and she and Ron would meet him here for lunch tomorrow. Harry knew they both had work, which spoke to the desperation they must feel to speak to him. The castle door creaked open, and Harry looked up and watched Snape step out. The sunlight was dim, as it had sunk beyond the trees. Severus looked across the grounds before he descended the steps and sat near Harry. Snape adjusted his robe and planted his hands on his knees. Harry bit at the inside of his lip to avoid speaking first.
I am sorry about Andromeda, Severus said.
He didn't look at Harry, but straight ahead.
Me too. It's been difficult. Her healers thought she would be all right after the last time, Harry said.
What you have done for Nymphadora and her son has been admirable, Snape said.
He sat stock still, which belied his awkwardness with this conversation.
We're family, Harry said. Being a child's godparent.
Not because of that, Harry interrupted. Tonks and Andromeda were friends, turned into family, as Ron and Hermione are.
Even if I weren't anything special to Teddy, he'd still be family.
Oh, Snape said in a quiet voice. Is that all you wanted to talk about? No, Severus said.
Oh.
I dislike manipulation and being misled, Snape said after some time had passed.
Do you feel like I did that? Harry asked with care.
Our final parting was 5 years before, on a neutral tone. All that time passes, and you appear on my doorstep with a priceless artifact, Severus said. Your excuse, your explanation, was that you missed me. You would elaborate no further. What could I think?
That I missed you? Harry suggested.
Consider it from my perspective, Severus said.
Harry looked off at the darkened forest. The entrance torches had flared to life, casting a circle of light and shadow around them.
I assumed you knew me better than that, Harry said after a time.
I do not know you at all.
You used to think you did, Harry said.
The child I thought I knew would not have sacrificed his life. He would not have risen quickly through the ranks in any profession. He would not take in a woman and her son and dedicate himself to their recovery, Snape said. I do not know you at all.
Harry thought about those words, ran them through his head again and again. I think I have an unfair advantage in that case, he told Snape when he made sense of it all. Creature! Harry had just finished speaking, and Creature was already there, giving a low bow.
That's fine, Creature. There's a blue book.
The one Master Harry hides in the bottom drawer? Yes,
Creature said. Yes. Would you mind fetching it? Harry asked.
Creature bowed again, his nose touching the ground.
Nothing would make Creature happier.
He disappeared. It wasn't long until he returned, foisted the book into Harry's hands, and disappeared again without a word. Harry laughed. He wants to hate me, but refuses to let any other elf near me. He sobered and clasped both hands around the book. Snape had turned and was looking at it.
Everything here is entirely true. I can show you the memories as well, if you'd like. But this is a summary of my life, since the war, up until now. Major points only. You'll understand as you get through it, Harry said.
He held the book out with one hand.
I haven't told anyone yet. I plan on talking to Hermione and Ron about it tomorrow.
You wish for me to read this?
Severus asked. He took the book from Harry and traced a finger along the cover.
It's all handwritten. Good luck, Harry said.
I remember your quill craft. I shall need it.
When Harry returned to his room, he peeked in on Tonks and Teddy, finding them both asleep. He sent for a house elf. Creature hadn't answered. For files and labels, and set to filling them with memories. Very careful in his choices, he sent them along to Snape's quarters, and settled in to sleep. Harry woke late the next morning, when the sun was already high in the sky. He checked his watch and sprung from the bed to pull on fresh clothing. The book and memories were on the desk. With a pit in his stomach, he snatched the book and ran out. Harry was halfway through the corridors when he could free the edge of his jeans that had got caught between his foot and his trainer. He took the path to Hogsmeade at a run and hoped his friends were running late. When he slid into his seat in front of him at the back of the pub, he was out of breath.
Sorry, just woke up, Harry said.
It's perfectly fine. You have had little sleep lately with Teddy around, I'd wager, Hermione said.
Too right, Harry agreed.
Been reading? Hermione asked, her eyes roving over the book.
Writing, actually. More like making notes, Harry said. Don't get enough of that at work, mate? Ron asked.
Rosmerta arrived with their lunch and drinks. They thanked her, and she flew away to help other patrons.
We ordered for you. You were late, Ron said.
Thanks, Harry said, and picked through his meat pie.
All right, Ron asked. He frowned and looked Harry over.
Yes, how are you handling everything? How are Tonks and Teddy?
I'm tired. They're healing. Teddy understands less, so he gets sad every couple of days. Tonks? Well, I think McGonagall and Sprout are working magic. She laughed yesterday, Harry said.
And you? Hermione asked.
I don't know where to begin, Harry said. The beginning would be a good start, Ron said, and pushed his empty dish aside. Have you ever read The Wizard of Oz? Harry asked. No, what's that? Ron asked.
It's the tale of a muggle girl whose house gets transported by a tornado to a magical land, Hermione said to him.
Ron nodded and they turned their attention to Harry. Harry bit at his lip and slid the book across the dark wood tabletop. I was the girl. An ancient scythe was the tornado. I may have touched and bled on it in the Department of Mysteries, Harry said.
You touched a magical artifact without knowing what it does? Ron said.
He rubbed his head, and Harry remembered the last time they were all in the Department of Mysteries together.
You're lucky you're alive!
Harry laughed through his nerves.
You've no idea.
Hermione pulled the book in and opened it. She scanned the first few pages, then frowned. Do you think McGonagall would mind if we kept you company for a few hours? Ron asked, looking from Hermione to Harry. It should be fine. Harry spent the afternoon answering Ron and Hermione's questions. Some questions were unanswerable, and some answers were heartbreaking. By the time they left his notes safe in Hermione's satchel, Harry felt free. He hadn't tried to guess at their reactions, but, as always, they supported him and were willing to help. The last day of their visit was quiet. Harry and Tonks brought Teddy to see Hagrid, who showed them many delightful creatures. They had lunch by the lake, then Professor McGonagall saw them off to the train station. As the train pulled away, Harry thought about how much he missed Hogwarts already. The morning Teddy went back to daycare, they moved into the Black family home. Tonks seemed better, and the move went well. A few friends showed up to help. Robard sent an offer along from his sister, but Harry politely rejected it. Ginny and Lee helped Tonks arrange and unpack, as Harry and Neville made the trips from his flat and Andromeda's house to number 12. Their first days back at work were strange as they ironed their routines out, but overall, Harry was ready to be back. From that point on, it was easy to get back into the routine. His work was almost identical, but for Tonks's presence. It was much the same as before the scythe. A few more lives and a few different deaths. Harry researched what he could about souls and lives as the thought of siblings weighed on his mind. Falling into his life was just what he needed, and though he'd never wish for it, Andromeda's death helped him through the heartache he felt. A rampant 5-year-old was the greatest distraction. By the end of August, life was almost normal. He finished reading to Teddy, who fell asleep halfway into their latest chapter of The Hobbit. Harry stopped by his bedroom to change into pajamas and then continued down to the kitchen. He hadn't had time to eat earlier. Teddy had decided he hated dinner, and so he'd decorated the floor with it. Harry ran one hand through his hair and pushed the door open. Tonks was at the table drinking tea with Severus Snape. They turned at the sound of the door opening. Harry, contrary to what his schoolhouse would imply, turned and left. He wasn't hungry.
All right, Harry?
Why wouldn't I be? Harry said to Tonks. She circled the sofa they'd added to the library and swatted his feet away so she could sit. He left? Harry asked.
No, he's waiting in the kitchen. Very awkward, that one. Before you show up, he's as pleasant as pie. You run out of the room, and the man can't get two words together, Tonks said. You didn't tell me you had a thing with Snape.
I don't. Harry said.
Sure, right. Why do you think he's in our kitchen, then? Not the tea. That's from Tesco. Nostalgia, maybe? The good old days of war, when he spent half his time...
Why, then? Harry asked.
To talk to your specky arse. We'll talk about this in the morning. I'll send him up. At least sit and look a touch interested, Tonks said.
Tonks stood and rubbed his shoulder as she passed by, back out of the library. Harry shuffled into a seated position and ran his hands through his hair, before he pulled the quilt around him like a cloak. Harry turned his head when he heard a noise, and watched Severus enter the library. Each of his steps were careful, as if the room may be trapped. When Snape looked at him, Harry tilted his head toward the empty seat next to him. Severus sat down and rested his back against the overstuffed cushion. He rested an ankle on his knee and sighed. Harry realized Snape wasn't wearing robes, but trousers and a button-down. The silence dragged on until it became unbearable for Harry.
"Tonks said you wanted to talk," Harry said.
"Yes."
"Well?"
"I was angry," Snape said.
"Plenty of things for you to be angry about," Harry said. "Are you still angry?"
"I was angry that you saw me in ways that I would never show anyone," Snape said.
"It was you. Not you, but it was still you. You showed it to me," Harry said, and pulled the quilt around himself.
"I suppose that is true. In some way."
"True to me. Are you still angry?" Harry asked again.
"No."
Harry sighed and looked at Snape.
"What do you want?" he asked.
"I want you around," Severus said.
He met Harry's gaze and frowned.
"Am I too late?"
"No," Harry said urgently.
"No." Harry watched the tension fall from Severus's shoulders. Severus readied himself and stood.
"The timing is poor. Minerva has a series of staff meetings set for tomorrow," he said.
Disappointed, Harry disentangled himself from the quilt and stood.
"All right," he said.
Severus reached out and grasped his hand, and after a moment's hesitation used it to pull Harry closer. He wrapped his arms around Severus when he was close enough, and felt Severus do the same. Harry hadn't known how much he'd missed this.
"Last meeting is over at 6, Severus said in his ear, leaning the side of his head against Harry's. "Have dinner with me in Hogsmeade."
Harry grinned and turned his head and captured Severus's lips and felt Severus give in to the kiss. It didn't last long, only for a few seconds, but to Harry, it meant everything. He rested his forehead against Severus's as he felt Snape's hands move to his hips. Harry wished they'd move closer to his bum.
"Hogsmeade, 6 o'clock? Harry asked.
"Perfect," Snape said.
"Perfect,"